Hello, ladies and gentlemen, it is Red Teens here, and I welcome you back to our political podcast. And as you know, there has been a lot of news that has come through the mainstream media and some sources that I've looked at before. And we're just going to kind of more discuss it really than anything else because, as I said before, we don't really have a microphone other than still my interview microphone. But as I told you guys, that one broke because I was just walking around and all of a sudden it was in some, I think, other place, and so I stepped on it, and it just broke. So again, I'm kind of still using it, but I'm going to have to hold it, like, in my hand, and it's going to be a little bit annoying, but I'm going to hope that I can get a little bit used to it, maybe. I'm still, again, going to try making some podcasts, but I'm not going to make that many. But let's get right into the news. So the very first thing we're going to get into is the labeling of right-wing activists or political leaders. And as you know, right-wing leaders have tended to be more, you would say, unfairly named. You got people such as Mark Dice, who he's been called a conspiracy theorist / a mainstream media conservative. You got Alex Jones, who's been called a right-wing conspiracy theorist. And you just have PragerU, which is called I'm not sure if this is really accurate, but I've heard that they've been called maybe an alt-right or something group that have instead made up their own facts because they never really present any. I researched some of them. I've researched some of their factual evidence, and I found them. Maybe sometimes it was a little bit different. I can't understand that, but more of the time, I do find where they got the source from, and I confirm that it is from just another mainstream media news site, or it's just from another site deep in the web. But again, overall, this kind of leads more into the censoring of right-wingers. So, as you know, Twitter has been sued about $250 million by, I don't really remember who. I'm not sure if it was an organization or just a conservative group. But they sued Twitter for suppressing free speech and censoring Republicans while not dealing with leftist activists and such. I saw these tweets. Like, I legit saw these tweets. There was people literally talking about how they were going to burn the whole Covington High School down. How they were going to kill students. And this kind of led on to the entire situation where the school literally had to have a day off because they were so worried about the students' safety because of all these threats from Twitter and other media, not media, but social outlets. And so it just leads more to the danger of people such as this. And I'm not saying that they should be censored. I think they should only be censored when they start going over the line. But I definitely also believe that people such as this making this kind of threats should at least receive some kind of criticism, some kind of punishment. And it's just, in my opinion, a shame, something that I feel ashamed of, that our country itself does not deal with this. They don't deal with people who clearly, and this is, you might criticize me for this, but these people clearly have some kind of death threat to Republicans, because there are some SJWs and there are some Antifa members who, I'm not saying all, I do hate Antifa, but I'm saying this as some. Some of them are extremely violent. They want to take power from Trump, not in a political system or anything like that. They want to take power violently and just use the excuse of, oh, he's a fascist, so we took it over. But overall, I've heard about Mike Dice. I don't know. I looked over his videos. I thought he was a mainstream conservative, but I've also looked at some of his other videos, and he does seem more and more leaning on the leftist term conspiracy theorist. And this is my personal belief about conspiracy theories. I personally investigate conspiracy theories because I find them interesting. I find them as something that I like to do because they really start to interest my mind and say, well, even though I believe this, maybe this happened, and maybe they're trying to say that. That's kind of what gets conspiracy theories so much attention, is because people, especially more, I would say, more intellectual people, start saying, well, they are putting out a point, and I don't think it's right at all, but maybe what would happen if it's true? What would happen if somehow, like, if Alex Jones said that the smoke or something like that that's leaked by an airplane, it causes pollution and it causes chemicals to go into water streams, which causes malfunctions in nature itself. Is that true? And I think it's something that really keeps humans from just staying the same and staying all PC on one ideology. Because conspiracy theories really do keep America interested. Because I personally believe that without people such as Alex Jones, the world would just be like believing the same thing, one side and which, and that there wouldn't be really any kind of interest or any kind of investigative stories that could really go out and say, oh, what about this actually happened and such. It would just be the old plain old, this person's bad, and the other person saying, this person's bad. So again, really overall, this entire issue is just more of dependent on the First Amendment. It's more dependent on the First Amendment because it threatens America's speech. In the sense of saying, we're going to attack one political party while the other party can launch death threats and anything else they want to at their opponents. And that's something that could, in fact, destroy America as what it's best known for, is freedom of speech. We use that as a meme. We use that as still a right now, obviously. If we didn't have freedom of speech, I'd probably not be speaking right now. But overall, this entire situation where Twitter's now suffering lawsuits and many other news media outlets are starting to get a little bit of notice, and some people are trying to say, well, they did this and that. It's going to start really pulling apart the media outlets' real control on people, because people are going to then start realizing, wait a moment, they said that and that was completely untrue. And then they continue to say it was true only until finally they accepted that it was true, that they actually admitted. And that's going to really start pushing people to really think outside what they believe. It's going to push people to really say, oh, should I actually believe this? Or should I kind of check out the other side of the argument and see if I actually have more beliefs or any kind of religious or political ideologies? But again, this issue is not as big as it could be. It could be bigger. It could be much larger. It could be a much more daunting thing. But it's not right now. I think it's going to come up in the next 30 or so years. I'm not sure. But I definitely know that in 30 years, we're going to have something involving this kind of issue. And it's going to decide a very important role in America's future and how it deals with speech. But again, we're going to kind of move away from that and move on to our very next article. So the final article we're going to get into is Nancy Pelosi's suggestion. And I personally believe that this suggestion is going to ruin American politics. She suggested that the voting age should be lowered to 16. And as you probably also know, she also wanted to give illegal immigrants, which, as I've told you, are not actual citizens of the United States, voting rights. These two measures could absolutely destroy American politics. Because when you give illegal immigrants the right to vote, then you're kind of saying, well, we're going to get more votes if we do this. So we're going to kind of cheat the system by getting more and more people. Because not only are you going to get more voters, you're then going to bring in more voters in the future, which is going to, in a sense, rig the American election. And then with the lowering the age to 16, you're kind of just giving people who are not as informed about politics the chance of changing America's future. Because you got some people, as I've said before, some people who think that they know everything about politics and they only did it for like maybe a month. They only study it for maybe a month and they didn't really decide. They just said they watched one guy like Trump or Bernie Sanders, Ben Carson or something. They said, oh, I'm going to vote for him only because he was the first person, or she was the first person I watched. And that's going to really bring up discussions about how it's going to really show how America actually works. It's going to show how America is really going to deal with teenagers who, again, might not even be close to educated enough to really know politics and how they're going to really change America. And I've also actually discussed this before with some people about actually raising the age limit. In fact, I am actually supportive of raising the age limit from 18 to 21 because I believe that you have to be not only a young adult at 18, but you have to be more mature after 18 in order to really vote. Because it's kind of like the same as smoking and drinking. I mean, not smoking, but like drinking. You have to have a certain level of maturity to really understand the subject and really know what you're getting into. Because if you don't, you're probably going to in any way screw up yourself or you're going to screw up everyone else. So overall, and I'm sorry for saying overall, but it's really the only thing I can say for the entire conclusion because that's kind of just me. I kind of just roll with it and I just leave it as it is. But the overall situation that this is presenting is that Nancy Pelosi is either trying to in some way move the election to her side, or she's in the future trying to plan for a new upset, which sounds the same, but it's actually a little bit different. For the second option, it's going to mean that she's going to slowly build her base, that she's going to start building her millennial base, because as you know, millennials and more, you would say, older adults than the ripe age of 18, kind of. Because I think teenagers last from like about 14 to about 19 or 20, maybe even 21. So, because I believe that 21 is really the true age in which you actually become an adult rather than 18. 18 is more of like when you become a very matured teenager, but not an adult fully. So, the difference she could make in the second option, again, is that she could build up the base instead of immediately pulling out all of her research. She's going to build it all up, and then she's going to, in one election, maybe like 2040 or something, slam it right into the election and probably change at least one election in the process. It could likely be the presidential election, which is a very scary thought to think of. But, as I said, that we're only going to get into two articles for today because it's about, I think, 8:50 or so it's kind of late for me. So I'm kind of going to wrap this up because I don't like the podcast really late. I like the podcast like at 6, 7, maybe early 8. I only like podcasting at 8 when it's early because it's still, in my opinion, not early, but it's still like kind of in the middle between late and okay. So again, that's going to, the conclusion of this is, what the left is trying to change. The left is trying to change freedom of speech. They're trying to change how American elections are going to operate. And in that sense, they're overall trying to change America in what I see as in a way that could really destroy America's real ideology of making elections fair and such. But really, overall, there's nothing really else to go off of other than that. So I guess that's going to really conclude our podcast today. So again, you can check out our podcast links. I have about now 5 other links for my podcast right now. I also have set up a Patreon and a PayPal account, so you can kind of donate to that if you want. It's just an optional thing. You do not have to donate at all. I've never asked anyone to purposely donate. I've only said it as an option. So I thank you for listening. I hope you have a great rest of your day, and I also have a great day in the future.